Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, October 4th, 2015. The Reverend Ron McHattie is preaching. The sermon today is prayers for those in want, those displaced, those persecuted, those persecuting, and the closing exhortation. The biblical readings are Isaiah 56, verse 1 through 8, James 2, verses 14 through 17, Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14, Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6.
So this morning I want to do something a little bit different. Congregations oftentimes do a lot of different things to acknowledge World Communion Sunday. I decided that this morning, especially in light of so many things that are going on in our world, that I really wanted to just draw our attention to many of those things, but to do it in the context of prayer. Because there are, you know, we get together on World Communion and we celebrate this fact that there's Christians all over the world, even though people oftentimes would cause us or the media not to believe it. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. It's the fastest growing religion in the world, just not in the West. I think oftentimes we fail to realize the level of misery many of those other Christians are going through. We are in the West among the most fortunate. We're among the most fortunate, not only in terms of our level of lifestyle, but we are among the most fortunate in terms of just our ability to gather and to worship and to relatively do that without any consequences from the world in which we live in. And the bottom line is, that's the minority in the rest of the world. So I thought this morning it would be good for us to draw our attention and just be praying not only for Christians, primarily for Christians, but also for others that kind of fall into that same category. Because there are a lot of people who are in want. And some of the events of this summer also kind of brought that to my attention. Passage of scripture that always weighs heavy on my heart, and it just causes me to say, I wonder what we're missing oftentimes in our worship, and it comes from Isaiah, and Sherry is going to read that for us this morning, and just listen to this prophetic word from Isaiah as we begin to prepare our hearts for a season of prayer.
Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast and keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it and refraining from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dried tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, who will gather others to them besides those already gathered.
So as we come together for this season of prayer, my hope is that we'll honor and observe the Lord's desire for that house of prayer for all people. And as we prepare to do that, let's just take a few moments of silence and just ask the Lord to help prepare our minds and sharpen our spirits to hear his voice and to come before him in prayer. As I find myself growing older, I become increasingly mindful of the blessings that are mine and of how many people are in want. So listen to these words from James 2 as we prepare to pray for those who are in want.
What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James 2, 14 through 17.
Let's begin by just each of us praying for the homeless. And let us remember those who are unemployed. The wants out there can be so varied. They can be mental. They can be physical. The list seems to go on and on. For those that possibly weigh heavy on your heart, lift them and those conditions up before the Lord. And let us remember those who give of their time and their effort, of their resources for trying to care for those who are in want. There are so many in our world that are displaced, and we may be even more mindful of that with all of those who have been displaced, not because they are foreigners or in a land of conflict, but because of the natural disasters that have inflicted their presence in our state. So let's listen to these words from Leviticus 19, 33 through 34, as we pray for those who are displaced.
Amen. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Let's pray for those that we are most mindful of close here to our own homes who have lost their homes as a result of this summer's fires. Let's pray for those who have lost their ability to provide for their needs and for the needs of their families. For those who have lost both home and means of support, who have lost loved ones because of the conflicts within their own countries and find themselves without home, without job, sometimes without family, without country, and now are refugees. And once again, let's pray for those who endeavor to try to meet and provide for all of these different needs. We have become increasingly mindful of all of those who are persecuted. And let us hear these words of Jesus from Matthew 24, 1 through 14.
As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? I truly tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come."
One of the things that has amazed me over the years is how few Christians, especially in the West, are mindful of the rate of persecution around the world towards Christianity. We we just aren't mindful of the fact that in the last 100 years, more Christians have lost their lives than any other time in history. I jotted down for you the names of different organizations if you ever become interested in following it. Just a number of them, from Christian organizations to the UN, that continue to trace what is happening in our world in terms of religious persecution. And as they trace it, all of the studies continue to indicate that of all the peoples, the most persecuted are Christians. I jotted down that Pew Research in 2014 indicated that persecution levels only continue to rise, and that Christians face harassment and persecution in 151 countries. They are not wanted. The complexity of all of it really began when my eyes first became open was when I was in college. And we had a speaker who was a missionary in Egypt to the Coptic Christians in Egypt. And he was there just shortly after the Six-Day War. And he shared with us that the Christians in Egypt, the thing that they were having the most difficulty trying to process was the fact that Americans who were Christians and they thought were their brothers and sisters in Christ were providing the warfare weapons to the Jews to kill them in their attacks on Egypt. And that was the first time that my eyes were ever really open in terms of how complex this world is and how complex the fight against evil is in the midst of our world. You know, it's come to a point that now there's one author who is coining a phrase, and personally, I think that there's a possibility that we're going to hear more and more of it. And that's the word Christianphobia. Right down to the point, I think that in the West, there's a growing fearfulness among Christians to even acknowledge that they are a Christian. And I think that we need to pray about that. That we need to have a new sense of empowerment among ourselves, not to be obnoxious, but to realize that we may be coming into an age, unlike any other age, where the costliness of being a Christian will be in the West as well as in the rest of the world. And I'm not sure that we are well prepared if we are asked to stand up and voice ourselves. Strange for me this week, as I was trying to put all of this together, the events in Oregon, and as the things that trickle out. And yes, the young man who is guilty of the horrendous crimes that took place up there was definitely emotionally disturbed. But the fact that he asked people to identify whether or not they were a Christian or not a Christian, and if they were a Christian, they were shot in the head and died, and if they were not a Christian, they were shot somewhere else and lived. Just kind of says, you know what? It's there. One of the things that very few people realize is that all of those people coming out of Syria, the vast majority are all Christians. And they're fleeing because they literally are dying for their faith in Syria. To be a Christian in Syria is basically now a life sentence. And as we hear the reports of them flowing across, and I'm not trying to make a political statement, that's not the intent, but when I hear our own sense of resistance, I just sometimes go, do you understand the full dynamics of what's going on? And I don't think most people do. So let's take a few moments and pray for ourselves and pray for all of those that we are mindful of and not mindful of who, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, face immense persecution. And then just for the real fact that many place are in in situations of persecution because of faiths that aren't Christianity. But the war against belief is a very real war. Let's pray. Then we come to those difficult words of Jesus when he directs us to just not pray for those who are being persecuted, but to pray for those who do the persecuting. To pray for those who hate us and are considered our enemies. Or should we say they consider us to be their enemies? Hear these words then of Jesus.
You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Let's pray for those whose own beliefs or illnesses give them justification for the harm that they inflict on so many in our world. Let us remember those who it's not their beliefs that drive them, but their fears that drive them to inflict harm. For the actions and statements, frustrations of those that aren't directly responsible, but that are said and done that fuel such harm. For the leaders of our world who are taking seriously what is going on in our world and trying to address these conditions. Hear these words of Pope Francis as he spoke them last week in Philadelphia. In a world where various forms of modern tyranny seek to suppress religious freedom or try to reduce it to a subculture without right to a voice in the public square, or to use religion as a pretext for hatred and brutality, it is imperative that the followers of various religions join their voices in calling for peace, tolerance, and respect for the dignity and the rights of others. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, encourages him to teach and to encourage other believers to constantly be in prayer for those who are in positions of leadership in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Let's join and read these words together. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is the right and acceptable in the sight of the Lord Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator, God in whom, Christ Jesus himself, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. As we come to the table, I want to do it in the context of a passage of Scripture that I think captures much of what we're about this morning. And also, draws our attention to the ministry of Jesus Christ in a slightly different way. Hear these words from Luke 4. When he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." When we break the bread in Jesus' name and we pour the cup in remembrance of his life and death and resurrection, let us do so and be mindful of the fact, were we among the poor that Jesus came to? Were we among the captives he sought to proclaim good news to? To what extent were we the blind that he sought to minister to? Or the oppressed that he wanted to release from what had captured us as a human being, so that we might know God's love and freedom and release within each one of our lives and enable us to be sources of good news to others. Let us come forward and receive communion together.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.